I am so thrilled that God has led us this way this morning, for I consider that there is nothing else really but love, and this we shall all learn as we go on with God. I heard the story of a man who was warned that certain people were wrong because they made an emphasis on love and talked about heart purity. And he was a returned missionary from another country. And so he said, well, it doesn't seem too bad, really, that people should be accused of this. I'll go and find out for myself. And he went to a certain place. I won't tell you the name of the place he went to. And he said, well, I shall soon know whether there's any real love here or not. And he got out of his car and he knocked at the door of the place, and a young man came to the door, and they'd never seen each other in their life before, and this young man sort of ran to him, put his arms around him and said, welcome, brother, come in. And he thought, oh. He said afterwards, I knew immediately that this thing was right. He went and sat in the meeting, and as God was ministering, he said, well, what could be more wonderful than having a pure heart in the perfect love of this company? And he opened himself up and he let God give him a pure heart. And God met him in a new and glorious and wonderful way. You see, you can't love one another without a pure heart. You can't love one another because the Bible says so. The possibility is there because Jesus says so. The probability is there too if you believe him. But oh, to enter into it. And I found that the heart of purity is a heart of love. Basically, it's a heart of love. And to be able to love one another with a pure heart, fervently, is the great wish of the Apostle Peter, for instance. That is of the Holy Spirit speaking through him in that first epistle that he wrote, that we should love one another with a pure heart, fervently. And to be able to do this is bliss indeed. It's victory. It's unconquerable. It's impossible to defeat it. To really be able to love and love and love and love. The worse you hurt it, the more it comes back. Crucify it, and it'll have a resurrection. That's right. This is what God wants us to see and understand. Therefore, are we in the world, beloved, that all these things should happen? That's what Jesus said. He said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. You see, beloved, love needs its disappointments. It needs its cross. It needs its rejection. It needs it all, must have it. And so you will see that it's not a namby-pamby love. If it be a namby-pamby love, if it be just mere sentiment, of course, it gives up. It stops. Just let it have a disappointment or two, and it's lost. And so God dispenses with all that. But he does, by his Spirit, bring forth the pure love of God in hearts. And as love has its crucifixion, as love has its awful treatments, it becomes more and more perfect as God wants it to be perfect. And so, beloved, you see, you can't pray to dodge anything where the Lord is concerned. And you see, having said we are to love one another, he's put us in the perfect place for love to be tried to its utmost. That is right. That it should be tried and tested and proved as God wants it to be proved. You know, Oswald Chambers said some profound and glorious and eternal things. One of the great things he says was this: God brings you into contact with the kind of people that are to you what you have been to him. So all the time you get trouble, impatient, obstinate, separate yourself from all these people. If you're not careful, really hate them, you're just showing what you've been like to God. That's what he does it for. You find them awful, do you? That's you. That's how you'd be. You find them most irritating. That's how you'd be. Isn't it good to let you have it, these people, to live right in the midst of them? Isn't he good, you see? You'd be so blind and stupid and you wouldn't know anything as you ought to know without life itself. It brings you into all these positions. And when the test is on, remember what Peter says. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You're not to think this is a strange thing. This is natural to love. You see? It's got to be right. It's got to be true. It's got to be real in us. Oh, and when it's that, to be real, to see and know the love of God in operation. I remember being out in India just recently. I was able to preach at a big convention, you know, down in the south of England. And this gets things into line a bit when you hear this. They just flock in their thousands. So when you read glossy magazines telling you that brother so-and-so went to India and they had thousands and thousands come to me, they'd come to you too if you went. So don't get out of perspective. Don't think he must be a wonderful man. They all come. They haven't got television, for instance, the thing that keeps you indoors. They go and they go for meetings. They flock in their tens of thousands. Tens of thousands. And if you happen to say you've got and you put healing on a bill, you'll probably get 50,000 and won't be able to meet for them. You see? You won't be able to get together. So you don't have to talk about healing. If you went out there and said, this is Sister So-and-so, you may only be a nobody in England, you know, Sister So-and-so, she's got a healing gift. You'll have them lining up, then they'll take photographs of it. They say, marvellous people coming to be healed, you see? It's just like that. Let's get things into perspective, shall we? Let's really know. I'm glad I went. I just happened to drop the word healing, for instance, in the course of something I was talking, and I couldn't get them a meal after that. They were lining up, you see. Praise God. But anyway, I have this particular meeting. I was led of God to preach on compassion. The compassion of the Lord. And just had to stop the meeting. The interpreters couldn't carry on. They were broken down. They were smashed up. The big leader, one of the great leaders in India, just couldn't talk for sobbing when he tried to get up and sort of talk about it and explain it or try to get things moving. It's the love of God, beloved, that's the whole secret of it. If you haven't got the love of God, you haven't got anything. Don't you see that? You've only got your beliefs. God is love. You must have love somewhere if you say you've got eternal life. Unless you haven't got eternal life. Eternal life is living love. That's all it is. It's as simple as that. And of course it's pure. And of course it's holy. Of course it's fervent. I mean, just to demonstrate, fervor, for instance, he made a sun that burns and burns and burns and burns, and put that in the heaven to warm the poor old cold earth a bit and cheer up some of its mortals. And this is the wonder of it, this great love of God. If only we could understand it, beloved. If only we could believe, beloved, that whatever you read in the Bible is only the faintest glimpse of it. A cross, a man on it, and blood streaming from him. It's only a glimpse. That's all. A tomb that's open. And see how we rhapsodize about it now. Just a little glimpse. See how we sing, we joy, we glory because of this. But it's only a window opened, first of all to us, to become a door into which we may enter into the vastness of this love of God. This thing that our brother was talking about this morning was glowing in him. Couldn't you feel it? It's so real. That's what God wants us to enter into. More and more and more. This is the discovery of God. To discover how greatly you can love. God so loved that he gave. That's right. That's the great story. How greatly can you love? Come on. How greatly can you love? Oh, this is the secret. God created an ocean. They call it the Pacific and the Atlantic. And I suppose they've plumbed it now. But that's only an idea of the love of God. Do you see? He created a universe. Tremendous space. It's only an idea of the love of God. That's all. It's only a glimpse of the love of God. Praise God. All condensed, shall I say, all moving toward that one glorious spot in time called Calvary, where the Lord opened it all up and himself also, that we might know this great love of God. Not just know about it and come and sing about it like people write poetry about it and all sorts of things, but enter into it. And unless you've entered into it, first tasting it as grace toward you and compassions to come down and meet your need and mercy to forgive and blood to redeem, unless you know it first along these lines, you'll never enter into you. God, who enter into it, it isn't you preaching your sermons or quoting your texts or me talking to myself writing your books. It's got nothing to do with that very much, for love is impossible of transcription. Love, even in this blessed book, can never be really written. Never. Oh, unless words and works and life itself are means only, channels only of communicating that love, all our failures. All of them. It's got to be this mighty, oceanic, eternal love of God moving through your heart, moving through your eyes, in the sound of your voice, in the touch of your hand, as you move through. That's what it's got to be. It's got to be love. It's got to be love. If somebody gets healed, it's got to be love banishing the sickness, not power. Understand that. He does endue with power. That's glorious. But love to move in and do this thing. The indignation of love that anybody should be possessed with a devil. Eh? The grace of love that moves out to forgive anybody, anything and everything. Praise God. Love that cannot be offended. Unoffendable love. Love that can't be doused. You can't pour cold water on it. You can't do anything with it. Bless the name of the Lord. That's what it's got to be. Real, real love. I was at a place here not so long ago, just to show you how thick-skinned love will make you. Oh, it makes you have such a tough skin. Praise God. You get so tough. Somebody came to me and said, I want to apologize to you, Mr. Orphan. It's surprising. You must have heard me say things like this before. This is a new one. People are always coming to me saying, I want to apologize to you, Mr. Orphan. Well, I say always, you know what I mean. Occasionally then, as I move around, they say, oh, I want to... And I say, well, whatever for? I've never met you before, have I? Oh, this particular one, yes. I just came into a meeting where you were. So-and-so always said, yes, that's right. I think I remember. Yes. Well, what's it all about? I don't know anything. Oh, don't bother. Yes, it can be. Yes, of course you forgive me. Will you really forgive me? Yes, yes, yes. You know, beloved, you're nothing. You're nowhere yet, and these people can't take it for granted that you'll forgive them.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
That's what God wants you to take it for granted, that he'll forgive you. That's the love of God. Take it for granted. If they can't take you for granted that you'll forgive them anything... Anything. You haven't really made much progress. But listen, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's the basic thing you know about the Spirit of Christ, is that he forgives you. Isn't it? Amen. Oh, so precious, you see. It doesn't matter what they do. What can you do with somebody like that when they forgive you? Hey, what can you do with them? I went into a room the other day, and everybody else had been sort of saying, oh, marvellous to see you. You know, I've just come back from the dead because I've just been over the sea. And it was that sort of tremendous thing, and we were having a great time. And there was a young girl sitting down about, what would she be? Just the table with the way, a long refectory table it was. She sat across the other side of the table, and in the centre of the table stood a plant pot, as they say up in Yorkshire. You don't call them that down in the south. But a plant pot with bulbs, you know, growing in it. Narcissi and daffodils or something like that. And the next thing I knew, this thing was coming at me across the table. Bang! She picked it up. Threw everything there was within reach at me. And the Bible is a very good book to have. Always get yourself a good Bible. I use it as a shield. Hallelujah. Stiff. I'd been better if I'd had a stiff cover. Never mind. It went bang, smash, you know, parried them all as they came. Glory be to God. Somebody washed my Bible for me, and I don't know what. Doesn't matter about getting the book dirty. Praise God. But you see, and such hatred. Didn't we there arose such indignation that a devil inside a woman should make her do that? And I leaned across the table and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Shudda. Just as softly as that. Don't think you have to shout if you're dealing with demons. So make a big demonstration, don't half draw attention to themselves, you know. You see? Just sit down. She just sat down. I said, I'll come and talk to you in a moment. And in the meantime, I received the apology from the other person that I tell you about. Not at all. There's another girl screaming. She'd never seen such a demonstration of awfulness. And she ran to me and put her arms round me and clung to me. I said, it's all right, dear. Just stop. It's all right. I turned to this other girl. Don't you hate me now? I said, no. You can't make anybody hate you. How can you do that? Don't you see, beloved? The whole thing is love. And if you haven't got love, you haven't got the basis of a ministry. It's all love. And it's so precious. The rewards of loving are so profound. I understand a little bit now why Jesus came down here. The rewards of loving. Oh! You don't talk about golden crowns, the immediate returns of loving.
Praise God, amen.
Amen. They pile up, pile up, pile up, because it's all bound up in it, you see. The immediate returns pays the biggest dividends of anything in the whole universe to love and love and love. And flow from that love. And I couldn't help thinking when Brother was speaking about how that he loved you and, you know, wanted to eat you and all that sort of thing. So that's what it's all about. Jesus did it. He said, you've got to eat me. You've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, he said. That's what it's all about. Unless you've got this, I want to eat it. I want to drink you, then there's nothing. You've not touched love. You haven't come there yet. So the Lord brings us in. But there's a wonderful verse in the Bible, you know. Jesus so loves us that he baptizes us into his own body. So that we say we are members of his body. But do you know the scripture also says that you are members one of another? Eh? You think of that. I'm a member of you. You aren't complete without me. Now, how about that? You are members one of another. Yeah. See, it's marvelous, this. Praise God. Go on, let that sink in. You want to think of yourself being a member of Jesus Christ and think of that. This is the thought behind our sister's prayer, I'm sure, when she prayed about the necessity, how necessitous we are to the Lord. Of course we're necessitous to the Lord, as all members of your body are necessitous to you. We're really chosen members of his body. That's right. Glory. You see that, dear? We're chosen members of his body. And we're all chosen members of each other. That my life is incomplete without you. And your life is incomplete without me. Oh, to convey to men and women the great love of his heart. God should speak this way. the reality. Every one of you is only a picture. That's all. You're a picture of what God is really trying to say to you. He's wanting it to enter into your heart that I'm a member of the Lord and I'm a member of you. And you know, when your members are really members of you, they actually do everything without even sort. There's no grinding and there's no... They don't have to think. They don't have to argue. They don't have to sort of be brought into line. They just automatically do it. Part of me. See my arms swing about and they're part of me. That's it. And they don't have to think about it. Just to know that you're residing there in perfect love, just like the ball fits into the socket, just there, smoothly, wonderfully. And if I don't get arthritis, I'll never know it's happening when they move. God wants us to know this. Have you got this in your heart? Really deeply in, we're members one of another. In other words, if I just sort of take it out on my brother, he's me and I'm him. That's right. That's what God wants you to see. You're me and I'm you. Hallelujah. Isn't it a glorious revelation when it grips your heart, eh? Then you're not singing, "Oh, to be like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so." All you're singing is, "Oh, to be like him." Because you are brother so-and-so in this sense. We're all one spirit, beloved. We're all one. That's all we are. And this is the whole thing, you see. And you're baptized into this. Nobody can get into it. Only those who are baptized into it. You can't have any cheats, rogues, robbers, liars in here. Only God gets in. It's so safe, it's so secure. That's why you could be so open, you see. That's why you could let anybody come. That's why you can take in anybody. Because nobody can get in save those who are brought in by the Father. Amen. Well, Jesus even said, nobody can come to me except my Father draws them. You see? That's a precious thing. And nobody can get into them unless he personally baptizes them into himself. In the Spirit. Nobody. Isn't it glorious? You could live wide open here. You see? Everything's free and everything's full. And you can live in such simplicity, beloved, that everybody can say, "Well, I wish I could come there. I wish I had that." And it's all such love. Beloved, let us love one another. Let's love one another. Have you ever really tried it? Really loving one another? Eh? And you know, because you're doing as he gave you commandments, you can feel the impetus of it. You can feel almost as though the Spirit's going, "Go on, go on, go on." Because it's a fulfillment of the commandment which he has given us. And so, beloved, don't accept anything else but this. Don't accept it. Don't accept anything less than this in your own experience. Don't let the devil push anything else onto you. Don't have it. Stand and refuse it. And if he comes along and says, "You can't love," well, treat him as the liar he is. I say, "Yes, I can." You see? And yes, I do. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I think it's time we ended. We'll go home. Or at least what we're doing. We'll stay to lunch, some of us, I suppose. And I think the next meeting's at what time, brother?
2:45.
2:45, is it? All right. Let's pray a minute, and then we'll part. Precious Father, we are so glad. Thank you for bringing us together this morning to love in thy love and to minister it one to another. Oh, Lord, we know that only sin harbored in us can prevent it. And we want to move on in this path of purity where it spontaneously flows, Lord, and everybody trusts it in everybody else. So we can, Lord, and so we will, to the glory of thy name. Amen.